What's up? This is Keith.
Hey, this is Ari.
And this is Kim.
And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast. So, I think this week we're going to talk about... Basically, we're going to go into... We got a question for y'all. This one is going to be, what is something you really wanted to do, but you haven't done it yet?
I'll go first, since I was the one that came up with the question. But I want to go ATV riding, and I want to go snowmobile riding, because I have not done it. I keep seeing people do it, and it's on my list. I just want to get out there and just go ham, like a good open field, and then find somewhere like it's really packed with snow and just go flying over some hills. Probably have a broken
you just want the wind through your head and bugs slapping in your face.
I don't know about that. Why you gotta bring up bugs?
I mean, you don't,
because you know how we are,
right?
I'm not even gonna say she, you know how we are with bugs.
I mean, but you about to go ATV riding.
I don't want bugs,
but generally when you go ATV riding, you're going to a place that really don't have bugs like that,
right?
I mean, I'm gonna need YouTube to answer that question. You got bugs out there.
I don't need the bugs. Find me. I'm going to have some bug spray or something.
Right.
Some off.
You going to be in a bubble.
Right, I'm going to be in a bubble. I want to do that too. The bubble thing.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
You go and you go down the hill in the bubble. Maybe I'll do that when I go to Tennessee. Let's see if I can find that. All right. Sorry. I went on a tangent.
I got a sidebar though. Like, y'all, when the last time y'all been bit by a tick?
I don't never know if I've ever been bit by a tick.
I got bit by a tick like a couple of weeks ago.
How, friend?
I don't know.
Where were you at?
I was in the country. In Virginia.
Well, that's it. Explains it.
But I was in the woods. I was like in the house and I got bit by a tick. It scared the mess out of me.
I mean, make sure you... Well, never.
I thought I was going to have Lyme disease. And it had like a white...
I was about to say, yeah, make sure you don't have Lyme disease or babesia.
I guess.
Sorry, that's work. That me thinking...
I was gonna gain superpowers from it.
Okay. Tick, you gonna be Tick Man?
Yeah.
Y'all remember Tick Man?
Yes. It's one of the dumbest shows ever. No reason.
A lot of people probably ain't gonna know that show.
Yeah, they probably won't get it. Yeah. It's okay. It's an inside
joke. If you don't know what show we're talking about, you're too young to be watching this.
Yeah, right.
Just kidding. That part.
Just kidding.
All right. That was one of my sidebar things.
Okay. Okay. So mine is, I've always wanted to be a radio DJ. Like a DJ, whatever.
But I could see that. I could see you being a radio DJ.
Nope.
Our producer asked her to give an impression as
listen,
a radio DJ.
Listen, our producer ain't about to write. She always want us to embarrass ourselves. What's not going to happen is that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting close to it. I mean, yeah, you're
getting, right,
you're
in, yeah,
you're on the mic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
this,
it.
This is my impersonation.
What about you?
Are we on me now? I want to jump out of an airplane.
Have at it.
Right.
That's something I want to do.
We'll like, see
wanna,
you when you get down.
Because I'm like the thing, that's like one of the biggest things. Like, after you jump out of an airplane, what else could you fear?
Getting hit by a bird. Very bugs flying in my face.
Ain't no bugs up that high.
You never
but
know.
But as you're coming bugs down.
As I'm coming down.
As you're coming down.
Oh, but no bugs being you hitting you in the face. Dude, on the ATV.
Now where I'm going to be.
My dude said a bird.
A bird hitting you. I mean, yes, that'd be a fear. Like, has anybody ever been hit by a bird?
I don't know. Who was that? Fabio. He was not necessarily during skydiving, but he was on a roller coaster and he got hit by a bird.
Oh,
like when he was about to get off, his whole face was bloody.
You just got the worst
look.
Yeah, yeah. He was. Oh.
I had a bird poop on me before.
I've had that happen.
I think everybody has.
That was the worst thing.
I was literally in the middle of a conversation and it just pooped on me and I was just like, yeah, I need to go now.
No, try being on vacation. In line. getting food.
Oh.
In the bird, I mean, one of the biggest. It won't like put. Small. And the funny thing about it is, I thought Precious had hit me with something.
So you just got bird poop.
Yeah, so like I thought she hit me with something. I was mad because I'm like, yo, what you just put on me warm? And so then I go reach my
mad
hand
for
around
the wrong
my
reason.
Oh, hey, you about to eat? Oh my gosh,
you touched it?
Yeah, I reached my hand around and it was like on my shoulder, and I was like, ugh. So for the rest of that trip, like so, because we went on a cruise, and so we was we were on that island for a day.
Oh gosh!
So every bird that came past, I was scared. I was just like, oh,
traumatized.
Yeah, I'm traumatized because I'm thinking the bird gonna poop on me. I never had a bird poop on me before.
Oh, that's funny. I'm sorry. I've been pooped on before, so I know how it feels.
I was
just
high.
Like,
dude, why
hungry.
Everything with you is so extra?
That was a nasty experience.
That is hilarious.
It is. I mean, that's what we can't do nothing about. It.
Right.
Like, you feel violated.
Right. I had on a tank top, too.
Oh.
So it hit nothing but skin. I'm like.
Oh.
Yeah, you it's getting worse. Violated.
I wanted to kick every bird on the island, but I was scared of them.
Yeah, they were going to get you there.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder what the bird laws on that island. You know, like
it's, you know what,
like with
because you know you can't hit ducks, right?
Or geese.
It's
or
geese as they cross in the road, yeah. Which is
they terrible and robbing.
Yes. I promise you, they know.
Yeah,
because they be walk across the street looking at you like, so
right.
You gonna right. wait? I know you gonna wait.
So. And then just sit in the middle of the road,
right? And then be looking at me, doing what they be thinking they aren't.
Yes.
If you don't do that on that grass,
my job not too long ago, and it just ain't.
Aww.
Just still there. It's been a week.
In a way.
Nobody's come to get
I'm surprised the buzzers ain't came yet.
No, that's surprising too. Usually they be on it.
Right.
Somebody turned on looter.
Okay. Mm. We not.
Really?
We not.
Really. I be getting off subject, man.
You do. Let's bring it back. We're gonna bring it back. So today's episode. So y'all know in the social media world that we live in, we always see basically the highlights of everybody's lives. We don't necessarily see the struggles that they have. Some people allow us to see their struggles, but most people on social media, all you see is the big things. You see the trips that they have. You see the new cars that they have, the houses that they have. Mm-hmm. So basically, social media is almost like a bragging platform for us.
Yeah.
So because of that, you have people comparing themselves and wanting what other people have.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions is, should we as Christians, should we feel that, or in our minds, should we feel that we're lacking because we don't have those things? And like, should we chase more? And then also, what is considered more?
As Christians, what is considered more? That's a good question. Like, I think, well, there's two sides to it. Well, multiple sides. So I want to say there's two sides to it. There's multiple sides to it. We could be thinking in terms of relationship with God, you know, wanting more. Or in these terms, we're thinking the physical, the luxury, the materialistic part of it, like the things that you have access to. Is it the money? Is it the status? Like all of those things that we could be considering. And I mean, what part of the Bible tells us those things?
Right.
As far as like the material part of it. I mean, I can't say that there's not scripture that doesn't speak to having those things, but in what way are we supposed to have them?
Mm-hmm.
If I can say that.
I mean, because based off of that, like, if you think about it, like starting out in Genesis and the Old Testament, basically just about everybody was rich. They didn't have money, but they were rich in cattle and like their livestock. That's right. What made them rich.
Right. I mean, yeah. And then thinking, still continuing old scripture, being led to the land flowing with milk and honey, makes basically saying you'll have all your wants and all your needs. Mm-hmm. And if you are following what the Lord wants you to do, of course, which they didn't do. Thank you a lot. We could not be here doing this right now if y'all had followed him and did what he said do the first time. But I mean, I can't say we don't do what we're supposed to do now. So let me digress.
I mean, truth be told, like we're the modernized Israelites.
Yeah, we don't do
because like we're in, like it's literally a continuous cycle. We'll do wrong. Repent, Lord, we're sorry. And then as soon as he forgives us, so we're gonna go back to this.
Yeah.
Okay, but Lord, sorry.
I tell people all the time when I speak about the Bible, I'm like, it's like Groundhog's Day. If you ever seen the movie Groundhog's Day, he went through that same day over and over and over again until he decided to do the day right and do it the way it was designed. Like, if you don't do the way, like, of course, we're gonna keep going through the same, like if you read the Bible, you will literally see the same thing over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's because we're not getting it right.
Listen, First and Second Kings, second Kings is this king let them do this.
Yeah.
Israel came back, they repented, a new king.
Lord sent prophet and told him, "Look, I'm tired of y'all, so I'm gonna give it to them." And then their son messed up. And then that son's son messed up.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he said, you know what? I'm tired of y'all. So I'm going to give it back to them. And then their son messed up.
Dude, yeah. I remember the first time I read, I was like, did I just read? This is somebody else? Oh, yeah.
Same story.
Different person. Like, literally, I thought, because I was, at the time, I was listening to the Bible, like, listening to it on the Bible app. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there like, hold on, did I not listen to this already?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm like, dang, did I fall asleep and not, like, let me go back again?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like,
mm-hmm.
nah, that was that one. That was again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's just, and the thing is, it was written down. People knew about it, and they still decided to do wrong. And that's what we do today.
That's true.
We see it. We read it. It gives you the basics of everything that we go through today.
Mm-hmm.
And we still do wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
sorry, that was a little sidebar.
It was.
But,
Anyways.
Okay, so you were asking, like, what is more?
Yeah.
I mean, it can be multiple things. I guess, honestly, it depends on the person.
Yeah, and what do you consider more?
What is your more? Like, okay, so for me, if I were looking at it, it's there's multiple sides to it, like I was saying. For me, it's, like I said before, developing my relationship with God is one of the biggest things. Like, I want my relationship to get better. And then if I'm looking at it from an earthly flesh point of view, there are things, the goals that I want to reach. There are financial goals, there are health goals, there are different things like I want to be able to have access to.
Yeah.
And that would be considered more for me than what I currently have.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, that's how I would look at it in those ways. And seeing whether or not that's something that God wants from me. As we were kind of talking, like, when we were talked about this before. Is that necessarily what God wants from me now? Mm-hmm. Or is it even what I'm supposed to have right now?
Got it.
Right.
So I think my perception of it is, like, literally probably recently, a couple of months ago, like right after starting the business, my business, I got into that realm of wanting more, because I was looking at social media,
and
seeing people's businesses thriving and they making money and all these PPP loans out here,
right?
All of these type of things. I'm like, yo, people taking trips, doing everything, and I'm like, man, I want that. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able
with
to take
PPP
my
money.
I want some. And it was one of those things where I kind of checked, like, me having that relationship with God, it kind of checked me in that mm-hmm, moment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it brought me back, and I was like, you know what? I want more, but do I need more right now?
And so what is your more, though?
So my more is the fact, like, my more is having me a building. Like, having more. So if I have a building, I want a building right now. So if I have a building, I can do more with that building and help more people. I can expand. I can make more money mm-hmm. and do more things with the money.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much the fact that I wanted more money for my household. It mm-hmm. was like, I want to be able to help. The vision that I had of what my business, yeah. what I want my business to be, mm-hmm. I can't do it right now because I don't have mm-hmm. more.
Yep. And I know exactly what you mean.
And I realized, even with this podcast, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. but I realized, like, I'm still in that growing stage.
Right, yeah. right.
So
still God, developing.
Right. Yeah. So if God gave me my building right now, am I prepared for that building?
Right.
That am part. I prepared for that flow part. Of people or those type of things?
Yeah.
So it checked me in that moment. So I was like, you know what? And I started to think. I was like, you know what? Bills are paid.
Mm-hmm.
The refrigerator got food in it.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where I had to realize, like, he's given me enough.
Yeah.
So I want more and I need more, but he's given me enough to satisfy me for right now.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to realize. Like, I'm not struggling right now.
Yeah.
So yes, it's hard, I could want. Though. Yeah. Well, yes, I could want more all day, but I'm not struggling and I'm developing myself. I'm developing my business, my name, right. my character.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that was the biggest part of my whole wanting more. It was like, man, I want more. I feel like your more should be determined on what you're planning on doing with it. At the end of the day, like, I feel like if it's more, and like I said, what you're gonna do is, like, if I mean, not saying that your more has to help other people, but your end game and your desire for it should be to help other people. It shouldn't be, I feel like it shouldn't be a selfish more. That's to me.
That's
like, yeah, when it's a selfish a more, point. I don't think that you need that more.
That is a very good point. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kim, what is your more?
For me, my more is basically getting everything that God has for me. Okay. I believe he's given me visions and dreams on things to do, and basically when I see him I want him to say, well done, like, you used everything that I've given you, not you held on to anything, but I want to use everything that he has given me. And on materialistic side, I want a nice car, I'm saying a nice house with a basement and a movie theater.
Amen.
And you know, so like there are materialistic things that I do want, but mm-hmm. if I don't get them, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. That's a part of being content.
Right.
Okay. So then with all that being said, like, why is it that we have this whole, okay. So part of, like you said, part of it does come from social media and mm-hmm. seeing other people and their things, like, but within the church, like, we get these messages, the prosperity preaching part, like, why or how, like, with, when it comes to prosperity preaching, like, there's part of it that it's okay,
mm-hmm.
but then there's a part of it that gets carried away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to some of these pastors and how they do it.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing about it is everything can be taken to the extreme,
right,
in this world. So any religion can be taken to the extreme. You got extremists in everything. And I feel like with prosperity preaching, you have extremists.
Mm-hmm.
You have those that really, really focus on the money and the, like, the building of the money. And that's what gives the church a bad name. Mm-hmm. But you do have other prosperity preachers that kind of, they tell you that you still have to work for it. You know what I mean? Like, you still have to understand that you got to go through that growing process in order to, God will give it to you.
Yeah.
But you still have to go through the journey in order to get it. So, and that's in some ways I see it that way.
Okay, so when you were saying that, what it made me think about is like when I was younger, being in a more traditional church, going back to the previous episode, that prosperity preaching wasn't taught with the part of working.
Yeah.
It was more so God's gonna give you this and you're gonna be in overflow, and not really saying the other part of it that comes with it, that the requirements that you have a part in this, and which and it may not come now, because this prosperity preaching is usually that right then, right now, instantaneous. Right. You're gonna get this.
It may not come when you want them, but it's always on time.
Well, not that part. they talking about when you walk out this building, you're gonna be living in abundance, and you're gonna have all of this, and it's okay. Now you got people thinking,
right?
All right, God's supposed to be giving me this and all that, and I'm supposed to have this right now, because I prayed about it and I said it and you said it and we spoke it into existence,
and then when you prophesized, I'm not saved enough. I'm not like, God don't hear me. God don't want me to have it. Like,
There's so many ways that can go. Because it's like, I feel like you got to take it for what it is. Like, some people, you got to realize, okay, this is a motivational speech. Like, is this really the word of God, or is this just a motivational speaker? Because that's what motivational speakers study.
Right.
And the thing is, ultimately, they want you to change your mindset. Because if I could change your mindset and say, hey, like, you say it and you speak it, it will come. And it's biblical, too. Like, you speak it into existence. So, it's like, you have to... I hate to say it this way, but a lot of times we're dealing with a lot of, not saying everybody's weak-minded, but you're dealing with a lot of people that don't want to think for themselves or believe everything that's being said. And that's when it goes back to having your relationship with God and understanding the Bible and understanding it for yourself.
Yeah.
But it's like, you have to take it for what it is. Like, yes, he's saying all of these things, but at the end of the day, you should know what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you should know what the Bible says about you gaining something or something, or any type of thing like that. Now, with them teaching that type of prosperity, what I feel like they're doing in some cases is changing your mindset, helping you understand, like, okay, well, if I am good enough, I got to believe that I'm good enough. So they hear it every Sunday, like, okay, I'm gonna gain this when I leave out this door. I gotta believe, like, if you say, you know what, I mean, it's like a gray area.
Yeah, but it goes back to what you were saying, like, when it comes to the teaching of it and all the aspects of it, because if you're not teaching, okay, yes, God wants us to live in abundance. What does that abundance look like?
Right. All right.
Okay, what is your motive with what you're receiving? Like we said, is it for selfish gain?
Yeah.
Is it to be used for the benefits of others being led to Christ? Is it so that you can help somebody else who may need it? Like, how are you using the space that you've been given? That's part of the teaching, that when they're doing this prosperity preaching, quote unquote, they're not always giving all the sides to it. It's the hooping and hollering and let me tell you how God's gonna bless you and you're gonna get all this. Yeah, and it's just like, it's all about you, but not necessarily about what you're required or what your responsibilities are when it comes to all of this that you're getting. And that's the part where people get messed up, and it makes them leave. That's part of what makes people leave the church, because they're like, you told me this, or I was supposed to have this, and I haven't gotten it. Why should I believe you? Why should I believe God? Because you're putting part of this back on God at this point when you're saying all these things as a pastor or a minister or whoever you are up there standing at the front preaching these things. You have somebody's life in your hands.
Right.
Because, dang, you passing the bucket 4 or 5 times saying that if you put this money in here, God will give it right back. Like, That was a big thing for me when I was trying to get back into the church. And I think it was one church we went to, I can't even remember it, and the pastor had said something about taking a flight from Charlotte to somewhere else. And I was just like, what do you mean a flight? Like, I mean, I think he might have been talking. I forgot how he said it, but it kind of threw me off. And then at the same church, they were passing the bucket a couple times. Oh. And they were saying, like, hey, well, I know I got it in my spirit that somebody got some more money to get. What? Like, mm-hmm. See, that's when, and then a lot of, if you look at a lot of prosperity, they say, all right, mm-hmm. well, you give out, then. No, the thing is, but, and the thing is
the give to get right, mentality. Mm-hmm.
And that's that manipulation, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, sometimes you're not going to give with a healthy heart. Mm-hmm. When you do it that way, because you're like, mm-hmm. dang, like, this is my last dollar, blase, blase. But if, mm-hmm. if someone preaches,
you almost feel obligated to give,
right?
Because you see that bucket passing, I'm like, man, my last $2, like, mm-hmm. I ain't trying. So, if they teach it the right way and say, hey, you know what? If you have faith in giving this, then God will may bless you with something.
Yeah, you're supposed to give with a cheerful heart.
Right.
Not even that. If God told you to give, right. then you give it. But if God ain't told, if God told you to hold it, baby, you hold that.
Right.
Because there was a lot of times, like when I was out of work, I'm like, man, I ain't about to give up this. Hold
I
up.
Need this
My
dollar.
My checks is limited right now.
What the hell that song go? I need the dollar. I'm dollar.
But it was literally a lot of times where I was like, yo, this is almost like our last 200 right here. But I felt like, okay, well, I'm going to give probably about 40, 50 of this. Mm-hmm. And literally, and then I gave, and I said, you know what, I'm going to just give it, because I know I got to give. I know I got to give, but I'm going to give it, and I'm not going to be, like, I'm not going to hate myself for giving mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep some, and I'm going to give the other part of it. And literally, like, blessings started happening. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm not trying to preach prosperity, but at the end of the day, like, having that faith in God, like, I think ultimately God wants that faith in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you said, like, I'm not trying to preach prosperity, yeah. it's not, it's how it's yeah. presented is one thing. And the thing is, like, how it's presented is how we get affected by wanting more. Because, like, the thing is, like, should we be chasing more? Like, should we be asking for more? Like, should we be going after more? Mm-hmm. Like, is that okay? Is the thing, like, because, you know, we're on one part, we're taught to be content mm-hmm. with what we have and not necessarily be, and I guess that's more so, I'm not sure, I can't say, maybe that's more so the materialistic part of things. If you're chasing those things, like for selfish reasons, then the part of you that's not content with being blessed with the things you have, that's part of the problem. But should we be chasing more?
Like, for me, I don't, again, it goes with, like Keith was saying, the motives. Yeah. Like, why are you chasing more? Are you doing it for clout, or are you doing it because you want better, because so you can do better? Uh-huh. So, like, basically, so you can help more people. Mm-hmm. Like, is your more strictly for you, for selfish reasons? Or right. is it for, so that you can help other people?
Yeah.
So, like, for me, I'm chasing, the more that I'm chasing is, well, mine is twofold. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, a lot. Some of it is personal, because right. I do want to be on beaches, yeah. laying up. Hey.
Come on now.
But I also do want to help. Like, I have it in my heart to be able to help other people. Like,
right.
there are things yeah. that I believe that God has put on my heart that, that He wants me to do and organize and do stuff, or set up so that I can help people.
Yeah.
So for me, again, like I was saying at the beginning, that is my more. So that more I'm chasing. But a lot of the stuff is wants. It's not necessarily a need.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, the cars and the houses, uh-huh. that's not a need for me. I'm yeah. in a, like, I have a house. Mm-hmm. So my need for a shelter is covered.
Right.
But do I want a bigger house? Eventually.
Yeah.
Do I want a better, a different car, a nicer car? Yes. But the yeah. car that I have now is paid off. It's reliable. It gets me where I need to go. I'm happy with it.
Okay. Yeah.
But
thing,
again,
you
stupid. But like I want more, but I don't need more. So for me the question is, why do I want more?
Yeah.
Is it necessarily a need or is it a want?
That's a good question.
I was thinking about somebody who was talking. So it's one of those things where some people feel guilty for wanting more in situations because it's like, hey, so let me first off saying God knows the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
Period. So he knows what you need. He knows what you want. And it'll come when the time is due. So, but some people feel guilty for wanting. So like I seen a post the other day and it said, you got a business fixing credit, but you living in an apartment. So
how you know I don't like apartment living?
Right, but
or I don't own an apartment.
It's not
still
me. I have a house, but
still.
But the thing is, like, some people really like, I can't. If I'm driving a raggedy car, how good of a mechanic am I? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm driving something that's
how you know
badly,
I don't like driving buckets.
Right. So what people have to realize is people are going to think whatever they want to think, no matter what. They don't
know
your life on a day-to-day basis. They don't know any of that. But in some cases...
All they see is what you're showing.
Right. All they see is what you're showing. So in some cases, if you fixing credit and you got 3 or 4 cars paid off, you got a house, you got all this other stuff, that more is helping you help someone else. But like, don't feel guilty about your more. Like, if you got it and you got it the right way and you didn't have to cut somebody in the head, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. If you worked hard for it.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with chasing more.
There's nothing wrong with chasing more, but just understand, for one, what comes with that more.
Yeah, that's
your responsibility. Of it.
Your responsibility. You're gonna have judgment like no other.
Oh yeah.
Like no matter what. So
oh yeah.
Just people have to understand, with great power and great whatever, it comes great responsibility. Shout out to Marvel. But
right. But also, I think the problem is when we idolize the more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like that.
Going
that's
back
the
to
problem.
The Israelites.
Right. Right. When you idolize
yes.
the more, and like you have that to be your identity, that's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you want more, because and like if you work hard for it, you put in the time, you put in the effort, you shed the blood, sweat, and tears to get it, there should be no problem with you having the nice house, the nice car. Like, people shouldn't look down on you for that. But if your identity is found in those things,
because if it's taken away, then you're crushed.
Exactly.
Exactly.
The other part of that is the fact that a lot of people chase more because they're chasing happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you have to realize you are your own happiness. Like, nothing, honestly, nothing on this earth can make you happy but yourself.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be real, look at how many celebrities kill themselves.
Yeah.
Because they have just about everything they want.
Yeah.
Financial, like material wise.
That should be a very, very big point to people, that you can still have everything, the house, the car, the cars, the money, the marriage or whatever it is, and you can still not be happy because you internally are not happy.
That's the biggest part of this thing. Like, I tell people that are wanting to be married and stuff like that, and a lot of people are wanting to be married because they want that happiness, or they want that illusion of happiness. And being married myself, like, you have to realize you yourself have to be, like, you got to make yourself happy. One else.
You have to come in there.
Material thing. 100%. Nothing can
not 100%.
Make, nothing else. Like, I'm going to keep saying it, nothing on this earth can make you happy except for yourself and God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be in control of your happiness, because guess what? Your spouse can die.
Right.
And where are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. It's going to hurt, but at the end of the day, you have to be able to be happy. You can have a house and you're happy. You can lose that house.
Yeah.
But you still have to be happy within that.
Like, where does your joy truly come from?
Right.
Ultimately.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big part of it, but yeah. So then, like, being on this journey, And what am I trying to say? So like, okay, so being on this journey, how do you explain for people who don't have more, like those people who are content, those people who are working, doing what they're supposed to do, how do you explain them not having more? Like those people who, okay, so the scenario, person has very little income, they are very much so, they're involved in their relationship with God, they're doing what they're supposed to do, how do you explain that they don't have more?
So my godfather taught me that, or my spiritual father taught me that, things happen for three reasons. One, of course, because we sin. Two, because God is testing us, or we are being tested. And three, for God to get the glory. The first two is pretty much self-explanatory, but for the third one, for God to get the glory, one of the best examples that I could think of is Jesus himself. When he was telling Peter that he has to leave them, but Peter kept saying, Peter rebuked him. He was like, slow your roll, because you don't know what's happening. You don't understand that I have to leave.
Yeah.
So that the Holy Spirit, a helper, could come to you. So
yeah.
Excuse me. We have to realize that on this journey, it's just that it's a journey. Everything is not going to happen like as we would like it to be.
That's
like,
for sure.
Like Keith was saying, it's a process. And it could be that we're not ready for it. We're not set up for it. Like if, like Keith was saying, if he was to get that building now, would he be able to pay the bills? Would he be able to do what he needs to keep it running? Would he be able to take on all the cars that are coming in?
Yeah.
So it's like we have to think, or we have to know that there's a reason for it, and we have to be open to receiving, or to asking God what that reason is and receiving that reason that he gives, whether it be we're not ready for it, it's not for us, or whatever, or we're being tested. Because I'm that person that feels that there's a reason for everything under the sun.
Yeah,
there is no losses, there's lessons. And I had to learn that the hard way, because I was like, I lost. My dad had to say, you didn't lose, it was a lesson.
Nothing is a loss.
Right.
Yeah. Everything is not going to be for you.
Right. And that's one of the things that I've learned, not just from my dad, but just being in a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because it'll be something like that happened 15 years ago, and like something will happen today, and God be like, if that had happened, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's a process. It's almost like level, like how we were talking last season with the video games, the levels.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's something that we need in this season that is going to take us to the next season.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
So what I was thinking about is like, for a person that, like you said, is working, barely making it by, working it, but they're doing everything God wants them to, well, they believe God wants them to do, or they're following God, my best advice for them is to actually listen to God. You can go through the motions, and you can read the Bible, you can stay in your word, you can pray every day, but are you actually listening to God? Because the thing is, God gave each and every last one of us a gift.
Yeah.
And that gift is supposed to provide for us.
Yeah.
Like, that gift is supposed to open up doors for us. So if you're working in your basically, God doesn't want us to struggle. Like, why would a father want his kids to struggle?
Right.
That's good.
Yeah.
So a lot of people I talk to that are in these type of situations, I kind of tell them, like, I mean, not saying that I'm above you, like, I'm still going through it, but it's one of those things that I found my gift, the gift that he gave me with my hands, and the gift that, like, with my gift I can actually give out to the world, especially with the dreams, that the stuff that I want to do. But ultimately, I feel like a lot of people that struggle haven't found their purpose yet. And so when you find your purpose, the struggle starts to diminish. You know what I mean? Like, because you start to provide for yourself. You start to see things that, like, ultimately is having that relationship with God and letting God give you the ability and the vision to see what your gift and what your work is with Him.
Yeah, because when you know your purpose and your like, the plan, like, that gives you peace.
Yeah, your drive is different. You at peace. Because once you find it, it's like, yo, like, I ain't got to worry about nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those things where, like, put it like this. With the gift that I have, I would never be out of a job.
Yeah.
I would never be out of a job. As long as I got this gift, I would never be out of a job.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of gifts aren't that in debt. Well, matter of fact, no. If you have a gift, trust me, you probably would never be out of a job. Because you have that gift. You have that blessing from God that says, no, I gave you this ability to do this.
So, with that person's gift, what if that person doesn't like that gift? Or they don't want that gift?
That's between you and God.
Right, right.
That's what you need to work out.
It's a personal conversation.
Yeah,
right.
You're going to have to work that out with him. But the thing is, he ordained it. I'm not using the right word, I guess so. But he gave you that. He gave you that. Nobody can take it away from you.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to take it away from you, because he gave it to you because he knew you could handle it.
Yeah.
He knew that you can go through all of the trials and tribulations that you have to go to, and he gave it to you.
Yeah.
So just do it.
Some people don't want to do it.
They don't want to do it. Well, be stubborn and be in the wilderness for 40 years. And all, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, you have to learn how to submit to God. That's
point blank
the ultimate
beard.
Thing. Like, we're all stubborn.
Yeah.
You know, get out my business keys.
Right.
Get out my business.
The thing is, we're a generation of, like, generation after generation after generation, we're all stubborn. We want to do what we want to do and when we want to do
when
it.
When we want to do it, yeah.
And how we want to do it.
And how we want to do it. And if it doesn't look like what we want, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're
not happy
do it.
With it.
If you
I get disabled, I'd be like, I don't want to do it no more.
Not disabled.
I don't want to do it no more.
That's one of the biggest. I might be going off topic right now, but like, think about it. You have so many people that say, okay, I'm a Christian, but I'm an introvert. How?
I am, though.
Right.
How?
It's easy.
It's easy, but at the end of the day, did God make you an introvert? Or yes. Is this a word that we came up with because
introvert.
We're uncomfortable?
Don't come from me.
That's what an introvert is. It's uncomfortable.
No, it's uncomfortable.
I was about to say, I didn't say that I don't. I am an introvert.
Yeah.
But I do what I have to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This isn't comfortable for me.
I
told y'all, like, even in the beginning, like, I'm not comfortable with this, but I do what I'm supposed to do.
Mentally.
Whatever.
So,
mentally.
First of all, we ain't signed up for no counseling session.
I mean,
right.
I'm just, look.
I'm like, he's just coming for me right now. I don't even feel like we having a whole conversation. I feel like I'm being told about
right.
myself.
And okay. Not only that, God didn't make us all one way because he did it.
What she said.
I got you, introverts. But y'all on here on YouTube. I know. We're spreading the word. But and that's my thing. If we're spreading the word of God, how can you be an introvert?
Because I am.
Look,
exactly.
We on this podcast. All right.
What's the scripture say about not being comfortable? I'd have to find it.
Because I feel like being uncomfortable is a part of fear.
I mean, now I'm gonna be honest. No, you good. No, but like it is. However, for me, like honestly, for me, that's one of the things that I'm working through.
Yeah.
And it's like 2020 ain't helped me at all.
Yeah.
Because 2020 was like, go be an introvert. You do you. This is your moment to shine.
Right.
Be an introvert.
Be on in Zoom meetings with your camera off and everything.
Oh my God.
But no, I get it. But I mean, but the thing is, what I'm really trying to get at is a lot of this stuff is mental. A lot of this stuff, we think it, we made these whole concepts of things. But at the end of the day, you're really not an introvert. Like, I'm both. I say I'm an introvert and I don't talk to people, but then I end up talking people's heads off. So
you're
a lot
not
of
not an introvert. You just have your limits on when you want to be an extrovert. Right.
And it's your comfortability about being around people and stuff like that. So God gives you.
I mean, for me. So like for me, it's not that I'm uncomfortable, but like not being or being around people. It's just that I just rather be at home by myself.
Yeah. I need time to recover from being around people.
Right. The
energy that it takes sometimes to be around people. Yeah, I just feel like y'all wear me out.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
repeat what she said, because I don't think that
so our producer said that the gift that we have so the gift that we have thrives when we're not around people. So I was, thank you, because I was getting to that point and I got sidetracked. But like God made us God made us differently, because just like the scripture that he was talking about, he made some teachers, he made some prophets, he made some preachers, he made some worship leaders. He didn't say worship, they didn't say worship leaders, but that's my version. Right. But he made he made us this way. And like for me, I love to help in a church, but I don't want to be a greeter.
Yeah, that's not that's not my gifting.
That for real, because one day you're going to get the, hey, how you doing? One day, what's up? All right. Hey, welcome. Right, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, that's not my calling. But like, I'm more admin. Yeah. So my services are better behind the scenes person,
yeah,
as opposed to up front.
Yeah.
So me being an introvert is not always a bad thing, because truth be told, if you think about it, most people that work in the office that work most accountants are introverts. And I was like, that is true, because just seeing my department, I was like, yep. But then you have like salespeople. Mm-hmm. You can't be a salesperson and be an introvert, because you will never get any sales.
That's why I'm not in marketing.
Listen, I tried. I was like, yep, it's not for me. Yeah, you got to be around too many people too much for all this. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Because my thing, we're going to get back to the subject, but my thing is sometimes I can't stand people, but I draw people to me.
I'm gonna say you're a whole mechanic.
I know.
You have no choice.
No, but I work his back.
I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you gotta work your problems out through other people.
You
gotta talk it out.
Yeah, you gotta get your counseling too. That's why you have. What do you call
community?
It? Community. Yes. Yes.
People, friends.
You make each other better.
We do.
Okay, so I'm about to pause here for a second.
Un momento. All
right, so we were saying, like, even on this journey, you know, for those who don't have more, like, it's not, there may be a reason behind that. It's not necessarily that you won't necessarily get more. There's just that where you are at this point, maybe there's something that you need to work on, something that you need to do for others. It may never be necessarily about you. Mm-hmm. It might be that something there's that you need to be doing for others at the point that you're at before God can take you to that next point.
Yeah.
So okay, I don't want to put this. Okay, so when it comes to lack, is it something because of it's only because God can do it, like supernaturally, like this is something that God can do, or is it that there's something of a resource that can be used or that you need from that God needs to send you? Because some people think oh, it's only gonna come because excuse me, God sends it supernaturally versus God sending you resources. And that may be something that's blocking you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that reminds me of the story where the man was in the flood and he was on top of the house and he was he kept praying, God, send me help, send me help, send me help. Mm-hmm. And the Coast Guard come, hey, come on, we here. No, God is sending me help. They leave. Another boat come. Hey, come on, trying to save you. No, God gonna send me help. Somebody else come. Come on. No, God gonna save me. He get to heaven. God, why didn't you save me? I sent you three right. opportunities.
It's not funny, but it's funny.
Right, yeah. And you took nan one of them.
Because literally, that's how a lot of us live. Like, sometimes you get too holy and
right.
Uh-huh. So biblical and spiritual that you forget that we're still in this world.
Well, I wouldn't say biblical or spiritual. Biblical. Like, you are, like you said, so holy, yeah. quote unquote, holy, that holy. You think that God only works one way.
Yeah.
That part.
Yeah.
That yeah. part. Yeah. I mean, it's like, for me, it's like, I had to learn that. And that's one thing that I'm having a problem with. And for me, I realize, again, for me, it's a control issue.
Uh-huh.
So I'm learning that it doesn't have to be within this box for it to come from God.
How do you say that again?
Because, I could want something, and I'm thinking, okay, this is the path that I'm going to take to get it.
Yeah.
But God will be like, go that way, make a left, then go up 3 feet, make a right, then go.
The road less traveled.
Right. Right. So, like I said, in this season of my journey, I'm learning to give full control to God so that whatever way that He has for me to get it, I can accept that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you want something to go off of it, biblically, if you think about not fully related to what you were saying, but just like having resources. Mm-hmm. The lady who had the jars of oil, yeah. with the jars yeah. of oil. You think about her story. She had only a little bit of oil left, mm-hmm. and she was obedient to God, mm-hmm. and did what God told her to do. And her resources were given out to others.
Mm-hmm. She went and asked for help.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then when you do what you're supposed to do and you act on those resources come back to you,
mm-hmm.
because you're of your obedience. But people who think, like the guy on the top of the house, who think, oh, God only is going to work this one way. And right. God, in that moment, if that's what God needs to do for you in order for you to get what you need, then God will do that.
Right.
But
right.
because we're not meant to live life alone,
mm-hmm.
because we're supposed to set examples for others, God's going to work in the way that He needs you to get it and for other people around you to also get it.
Right, right.
So it's just like we're going back to the woman with the jars of oil. She had to use her resources around her versus God, because God could have supernaturally just gave her the mm-hmm. oil.
Mm-hmm. Could have woke up, oh, full jar, thank you, Lord.
Right.
But
planted a whole olive tree outside your house.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what God needed you to get at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You needed to see that you have to not just rely on yourself, but on other people around you.
Yeah.
So this, while you're talking, this made me think about this. If that was the case, then like God would legit be a genie.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you think about it, if we think of God as our father and we think about our biological parents, a lot of times, especially when we're teenagers, they don't just give stuff to us. They make us work for it. Mm-hmm. Like, they gave us chores, and if you do your chores, you get to either get an allowance or you get to go places, whatever. But you had to earn it. In some instances, it's the same thing with God. If God gave it to you freely, you wouldn't treat Him the way that you do.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You will come to Him totally different. You will legit use Him as a genie.
And you also value it more. Like,
right.
You take more pride in the things that you are working for. Mm-hmm. The things that, the things that, like you said, if you treat God like a genie and you don't consider how much he loves you, how much he mm-hmm. cares about you and giving you those things, you're not valuing those things. You're taking advantage of yeah. those things.
Right.
You don't right. see it as something as, oh, there was something that maybe I needed to work out in doing mm-hmm. these things. And I value the fact that I had people around me. I value the fact that I had access to these things. I value the fact that I've been given more and now I'm more careful with what I have or yeah. what I lacked before, because I know that at any point it could be taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But when people don't even see it from that point and they see like, oh, God's just going to give it to me supernaturally because mm-hmm. It's mine, I'm supposed to have it, then what do you really value in that? Do you even value God?
Right, like right.
This. Think about this like school. At the end of the day, if you don't learn what you're supposed to learn in one grade, you're not moving on to mm-hmm. the next grade.
Yeah.
And let's fast forward. This might can happen possibly, but it's probably never going to happen. If God supernaturally gave a doctor the ability to skip college and everything else and just go into a hospital to work.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really going to let that person work on you? Because right. supernaturally, he's in right. here working on
I'm
you.
I'm like, so, right. Lord, I'm going to need you to set my feet on fire. What that man say?
So, right. That's, like, that's,
slap my face. Pour water on me. Set my feet on fire before I trust this person.
So that's that the is thing. Funny. Like, most of the doctors that we go to, we understand that those doctors went through a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
they that's went through good. A learning process. They had to do years and years of yes. school before they even touched someone.
And there's value in that.
And there's value in that. So the thing is, like, you can't always, like, yes, some things can happen supernaturally, but at the end of the day, you have to realize, like you said, sometimes it's not time for you to move. It's God's timing.
Yeah,
it's never your timing. It's God's timing. So when something is supposed to happen, it's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you have to either pass your test. I hate saying test sometimes, but it is a test. I mean, life is a test.
Is that like most of the test leads to the testimony?
Yeah, it's a test. Like, you have to understand. Like, if you're in a job right now and that you're like, God, like, I need another job. I need this. I need more. I need all of this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But have you applied to another job yet?
Right.
Have you applied?
Have
to
you done
job?
The work?
Right. Have you done the work? And that's what yeah. people fail to realize. Like, oh yeah, God gonna bless me with another. But did you put in the application?
Or do you says, faith without works is dead.
Exactly. Yeah. So the thing is, or like with me, even with being a mechanic, like I was like, oh, I want more money. I want more money. But did I have the confidence of making more money? I didn't. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, I didn't have confidence in making more money. I was like, yeah, I mean, I used to go into jobs and say, all right, well, whatever you want to give me.
Mm.
Instead of going in there with confidence and knowing that I have the ability, like, mm-hmm. if I want this is what I gotta go get. But a lot mm-hmm. of us, we downplay ourselves.
Yeah.
And then wonder why we struggle.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you gotta have the confidence, like, have the confidence in God, but have the confidence in yourself to say, you know what? No, I am made for this.
Mm-hmm. And that may be the lesson that some people need. I mean, that's not going to be the lesson for everybody, because some people have that confidence.
Yeah, some people got that confidence.
Some people are overconfident.
Exactly. Like, it's one of those things. You under, like, and that's when it comes back to having that relationship with God and knowing yourself.
Yeah.
You got to know which lesson God is trying to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you have to be open to hearing that.
Yeah.
Because you putting your ego above what God's trying to put in front of you and let's get you to see. Oh, it's going to stop you from growing.
Trust, man, I got a story. Look.
I'll say save it for the bonus.
Yeah, I'm going to save it for the bonus, but I got a story about that. That being, what did they say, pride before fall?
Mm-hmm. Pride comes before the fall.
Oh, yeah. It came with a vengeance.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to end it here because, we've been recording for a minute. So what would we say the moral of the story is?
I would say the moral is understanding yourself, having that relationship with God, and knowing God's timing. And it's okay to actually want more, because God already knows you want more. Mm-hmm. He knows what you need. So I just put your faith forward.
That's a good thing. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I would say stop blaming everything on the devil. Everything ain't the devil.
Yeah,
we know he's real. He's busy, but everything ain't the devil. Like I was saying, I'm gonna say it like this: have a relationship with God so you can know what season you're in, whether it's a preparing season, whether it's a season that you just need to be content, or it's a learning season or a testing season. Have that relationship so that when you're going through, you can ask, okay, God, what do I need to get from this, and allow him to be able to tell you that. But regardless of what you're going through, you are blessed. Regardless of what you see in front of you, you are blessed because you're still here. We all struggle. Everybody has struggled. If you see people that you feel that aren't struggling, that's because you're seeing the aftermath of the struggle. So just know that ain't nothing wrong with you. You ain't did nothing wrong. Well, I'm not going to say you ain't did nothing wrong, because I don't know your story. I can't say that. But it's not always because you did something wrong.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
So if you want a scripture to go along with that, I would say Jeremiah 29:11. I like the way, I'm not sure who exactly put it this way, but they said that knowing that is not a promise to immediately rescue us from hardship or suffering, but rather a promise that God has a plan for our lives, regardless of our current situation. He can work it through. He can work through it to prosper us and give us a hope for our future.
Sound like either the Message or the Amplified version.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, because you know, it was a longer.
That's the slap in the face version.
Right. That's what I said. The Message or the Amplified. The Message be getting you together. Like, listen here.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, too funny. So, all right, y'all. So, with internet there, we want y'all to meet us on social media. You know, IG, Facebook, Relationship X Religion, both of them. But the question is, poll for the people. Should we chase more? And then the question is, what is more? Like, what is your more? And then also, what's your reason behind that more? Like we were talking about before, is it selfish? Is it to be a source for others? Like, knowing that could give you the answer to why you may not have more right now. And spending time with God, of course, you need to have that conversation with him. But yeah, also, don't forget our YouTube. Because we are here. We told y'all last time. We put a lot of work into this.
Yeah. I've been trying to work out to look a little bit better.
Oh my God.
Anyways, like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube so you will know when. Oh yeah, and hit the notification bell so you know when exactly we are posting. So you'll be up to date on that. But yeah.
As we always close, we want you to be persuaded by religion, but fully convinced with the relationship with God. And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.